of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Good. Our honorable radio audience, today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
But he can't become Muhammad in his body without Jesus. What is this? What is he saying? Just hold on. Not that Jesus, but the Christ nature. What does Allah say of the Prophet Muhammad? What is it? Say, I have lived a lifetime among you. Prophet Muhammad then has two lives. He says in the Quran, and I have lived a lifetime among you. What was that lifetime? Up to 40 years old. Up to 40 years old. That was a lifetime. Let's go to
I feel good today.
And he's told by Allah, inspired by Allah, to tell the people that I have lived a lifetime among you. The lifetime is 40 years.
Now, we can't go into this fully.
Well, Allah give us something that we have to digest rationally in part, and the rest of it by faith.
Yes,
that's why I say we can't do this completely. See that cross and that 40? They're the same. They're the same. Jesus picked up a cross and he told other people, pick up my cross. Isn't that what he said? He said, take up my cross. So that tells us that Jesus had a cross. And that cross must have been good. And then the world, according to the Bible, according to the gospel, we know it's a sign. But according to the gospel, the world crucified him on a cross. Is that not right? Now, so there's a good cross and a bad cross. A good cross and a bad cross. All right. And I'm telling you now that the 40 and the cross are the same. So what are we talking about? We are talking about the behavioral nature that Allah put in man. The behavioral nature that Allah has given you, your inborn, natural behavioral nature. All right. So Prophet Muhammad, without inspiration, Prophet Muhammad, without revelation, he had kept his cross intact. His cross was good. His cross had stood up. Jesus, if you don't know this, I'm telling you right now. Jesus on the cross means a cross. Jesus himself is a cross. So they put the man as a cross and put him on a cross. But actually the true cross is the man. He's the true cross. The false cross is the cross behind him, the one he was nailed to. And the false cross is made of wood. It's made of a tree. And the Bible says, cursed be he that hangs in the tree. Isn't that not the Bible? Yes. So what is the tree? The tree is the culture. The tree is the culture. There's religion, there's the Word of God. The Word of God brings light and understanding. And then the people form customs after the teachings of God. And in times you have customs, or what we call culture, after the teachings of God. Christian culture is a cross. Christian culture crucifies believers. Is that not the truth? Yes. But what it has connection with? Does Christian culture educate? Christian culture manipulates behavior. What behavior? The 40 that God gave you. 40 symbolically. How come it's 40? God says, and he had gave every creature his need in four periods. And when those four essentials come into your conscience, you multiply them by 10, it's 40. Yes. So you see, they put him on a cross, but actually he's a cross. He is a cross. Balanced man. Balanced man. Proportionate man. See, the old artist, he used to stretch the man out, and they put his hands and span his feet in his hand, and they show that he's balanced. He's a balanced figure. Right? His arms and his legs, they all go out in a balance, and he can touch the circle. Put him in the center, and his legs and his hands touch the circle in his head. Right? Yes! So you see? So it's typical of the balance that our God has made in man. And we know what extending the hands means. Extending the hands means helping humanity. Extending the hands, helping humanity. His hands go out in both directions to the fullest. On one side, you got the uneducated people. His hand goes out to them. On the other side, you got the establishment, the rulers. His hand goes out to them. One hand goes out, another hand goes out. And desire to help both are just as strong. Some liberators, they have a compassion for the oppressed. But they forget that the rulers are also oppressed. Their ignorance have oppressed them. Their sins have oppressed them. So both are oppressed. Those who are on the top and those who are on the bottom, they both are oppressed. And they both deserve a chance. Right? Yes. But here's another thing. Those who can call the left may not be able to call the right. To call the left, all you need is a preacher. To call the right, you need an educator. They have to extend the charity out to both. Hiya, al-salah. Hiya, al-salah. Yes. See, on this side, they need cultivating. On this side, they need educating. Praise be to Allah. See, don't forget, when you're making your salat, you're reciting the words of Quran. That's the highest wisdom. Oh, yes. That's the education. Praise be to Allah. All right. So we're still talking about the liberator here. Now, Prophet Muhammad, I'm telling you, with authority of Quran, with insight into Quran. Nobody told me this. The Quran tells me this. And that's the best authority. I'm telling you, from my study of Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, the life of Prophet Muhammad, that the 40 years that he said, I have lived a lifetime among you, he was telling them that I have fulfilled the sign in Jesus. What is the sign in Jesus? That this life comes without teachers, comes without prophethood. How do we know? Because Jesus spoke while he was in the cradle. He wasn't a prophet yet. According to the gospel, he became prophet when he was a man and the dove lit down upon his shoulder. was a sign that he was God's prophet, that the mission had come to him. Is that not so? Yes. But when he was a baby, it was already predicted he would be the one, all right, but it hadn't come to him yet. But the Quran says he spoke even while he was in the cradle. And the Bible says as a young man, he went into the synagogue and he spoke and he just astounded the people. His knowledge was so great, his insight so great, that he just amazed the teachers in the synagogue. But was he a prophet yet? No. Not according to the book, he was not a prophet yet. How did he get this great insight? Because of his nature. The nature was right. The spirit was right. The influence was right. He was born of Mary. His environmental influence was good and right and perfect. And he had grown up, he had developed out of that perfect environment. So his behavior was right. His heart was right. His appetite was right. His feelings were right. So he lived the highest life, morally speaking. And Prophet Muhammad, Allah said, and we have seen him, that he is on the highest plane of moral excellence. This is before he became the prophet. And we have beheld him. We beheld him on the highest plane of moral excellence. And that's what the history tells us. That Prophet Muhammad, though he lived around all that ignorance and corruption, he never became a victim of it. He was always a man of high morals. They called him El Amin, the honest and trustworthy one, even before he was prophet. Before he was prophet. That's what they called him. He was not vulgar. He was not decent. He was not unjust. And when he went to the mountain to seek seclusion away from the people, hoping that he would find some way there, meditate and find some way to just correct the problem. What was moving him? What was the urge that was driving him in the mountains? It was the burden of the people. History tells us that Prophet Muhammad was so burdened because of the ignorance and sins and human abuses that were going on in the world that he took refuge from that kind of condition, situation, into the mountain. And there he sat in solitude and cried out, poured out his heart to God, not knowing where to go, look, find God. He was just wondering in his eyes and in his mind, God, oh God, wherever you are. Yes. Now understand another thing. That in Jesus' life, before he became a prophet, which he didn't become a prophet as a prophet Muhammad, a different kind of prophet. He became a different kind of prophet. But in his life, before he became a prophet, there are signs to tell us something. Say he was born in a manger. And he was born among animals. Right? So what does that tell you? That his birth was natural behavior. The animal is natural behavior. I don't think I need to say much more. Yes. Yes. And Prophet Muhammad, who had taught him? Nobody. How come his behavior was so good? Natural behavior. So Allah is telling us that even among the worst conditions, natural behavior can triumph. And you can have the excellence of behavior, even in a bad situation. Now we know Jesus was favored with a good situation, wasn't he? But his mother wasn't. Obviously, his mother's wasn't, because she had to. They wouldn't even receive her in the nice hotels, according to the Bible. Say the inns were closed against her, and she had to have her baby in a animal stall, a manger. Is that not right? So what is that telling us? That's telling us that the poor masses, the world, reject us, they look down on us, they don't consider us fit to come in their society, so they exclude us from their society, so we don't have a chance to benefit from the environmental conditions that they benefit from, the learning environment, the moral, the high moral environment. We don't have a chance to benefit from that. And if we want to raise our children, we are not favored with that kind of situation. Our children have to be raised up in the worst circumstances among the worst people in the worst circumstances. But the Mary, she was Mary, the Blessed Mary, she was a perfect good woman, pure woman. And even in those circumstances, she wasn't affected. Right? She wasn't affected. She was still devoted to God. Loyal. Loyal and devoted to God. So her child, because of her influence, comes out like her. Right? Comes out like her. But now when he comes out from her, where he finds himself? Among thieves and robbers, cutthroats, wineheads, drunkards. Right? Yeah. You see, so Jesus was only in such an environment as long as he was with his mother. But when he was born, see, delivered means put out from the mother. When he was born, where did they find him? In a manger with animals. See, look, here is the environment. Here is the situation that she has to raise her child in, where animals are. But if you understand the nativity, the picture of nativity, the animals that are there are harmless animals. Which tells us that the Mary influence was so strong that she had attracted harmless animals. Those bad, vicious animals, they didn't care for Mary. They were far away. They didn't want to live around Mary's house. They didn't find nothing there that they liked. But all the little nice animals were there around Mary. What does it mean? It means that the people had no education. That's all. All these signs are pointing to the absence of education. They had no education. They had nothing to depend on but the nature God gave them. And because of them having the fear of God in them and sticking to the way of God, then God blessed that nature with inspiration, divine inspiration. And when it first comes, it doesn't come to Jesus directly. It comes to Mary. Is that not right? Yeah. It says, and the Holy Ghost overpowered Mary. And she became pregnant with a child of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? All right. No intellect yet. Intellect is not, the process of the intellect is not going yet. This is the Spirit. And she became pregnant with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then that child come out with a will and desire, a spirit to obey God. Come out among animals. And grow up and confound the wise with his tongue. Say, where you get that from? Who taught you? The flesh is right. The spirit has come into it. I see by the inspiration of God. Before he gets 40, according to scripture, they crucified him. He wasn't 40. What would have happened if he had lived to see 40? If he had lived to see 40... he would have died to Jesus and became Muhammad. But it wasn't meant for that to happen then. But nevertheless, he was a sign that it would happen. There's much to talk about this. This is a big subject. The hour that he was crucified is important. See, and they crucified him in the ninth hour. That's the hour we meet on Arafat. Say, they crucified him in the ninth hour. And in the 11th hour, he died. Right? Yes. They crucified him in the ninth hour. And in the 11th hour, he died. Now, listen. You all don't mind me holding you up a little bit today. All right. See? We need what the others got. And believe me, this is what they got that they didn't give us. Okay, so look here. Look at the word 11. E-L-E. Right? V-N. Right? E-L-E-V-N. V-N is something. V-N means what? Intellect. Intellect. Urgent intellect. Is that what they call it, cognitive urge. It's not knowledge. It's the urge in the intellect. It wants to know. It wants to know. So the last part of it is that refers to that urge in the intellect to know. You see? And the first part of it refers to high level. Elevation. Elephant. The L that you catch. That's up. And the bus is down. So 11 hours he died. So what is this talking about? What is the ninth hour? How come he crucified in the ninth hour? He crucified in the ninth hour because the world didn't want him. And his mission was to come into the world. But the world didn't want him. The world is nine. You see, nine represents the world. And since the world didn't want him, the world crucified him. Crucifying him in the ninth hour means crucifying him in the world. In other words, they make Jesus, the moral mission of Jesus, dead in the world. But now he ain't dead. He's just dead in the world in the ninth hour. Then comes the tenth hour. And he must have died in the tenth hour. Or maybe he didn't, we don't know. But I believe he died quite a bit in the tenth hour. Maybe he didn't die out. But I think he died quite a bit in the tenth hour too. But we know for sure that he died according to the scripture, the gospel, the Christian report, in the 11th hour. So what is this talking about? The ninth hour is the world. The tenth hour is conscience. The 11th hour is reasoning. The ability to reason. The scholarly plane is the 11th hour. You see? That's the scholarly plane. So it says that in the 11th hour he died. Means that how did Jesus die? How come he had to die in that 11th hour? He has to die there. Because he represents the spirit, the impulse. An impulse must die in order for logic to work. You can't figure out the logical order of things following an impulse. The impulse just takes you up to that door. Then you have to stop following the impulse. You have to follow the vein of logic. That's the 11th hour. Now, you know, the church begins in the 11th hour, doesn't it? Yeah. The church begins in the 11th hour. So that tells you that the church is supposed to be educating. But instead of educating, they just elevate. The real elevation is knowledge. Moses went up into the mountain for what? Knowledge. The wise man in Kenya, how did he come? What made him up into the Kenya mountain? Wisdom, in search for wisdom. The sages of the Himalayas, how come they go up into the Himalayas? In search for wisdom. So we know going up means going to knowledge, going up for the wisdom, to get the wisdom, to get the insight, the keys, the logic. But Moses went up into the mountain and he came back with the laws written on the tablet. Is that not right? And those laws represent logic. They were the logic for a new order. Right? And Moses is called a teacher. Oh, yes. Okay, so when Jesus goes up, when he's crucified and he's put up, then he dies. So what is this symbolic of? This is symbolic of the history of Jesus' followers. Not Jesus. They didn't crucify Jesus. The history of Jesus' followers. See, when Jesus was gone, then what did they do? They tried to find Jesus. They tried to establish Jesus. They tried to establish what Jesus taught. And for trying to do that, they were persecuted in the world. And the world rejected them. They were not allowed to practice that in the government, in the society. They were not allowed to practice that in the society. So that means being killed in the world. in the ninth hour they died. And they went up. He will say they put him up on the cross. Putting him up on the cross. What do you mean putting him up on the cross? The cross then represents, I said, the behavioral nature, right? So they tried to crucify him, bind him to his behavioral nature. Now listen, please. Please listen. They tried to bind him to his behavioral nature. Why would you bind something to his behavioral nature? Why you want to do that? So that you'll never gain intellectual insight. So his behavioral nature is excellent. Let's make him the subject of his behavioral nature. Let's make him so attached to his behavioral nature that he wants no more than that. He just wants to be good. Let me tell you something. You have to stretch your imagination to see the depths of Satan. Our little mind can't see it. We can't even think to do things this devilish. We can't even think. Our imagination won't even stretch. It takes a scientific mind that is wicked to stretch to do such devilishment. So here is a man, a sign of the people. Now God sent a man into the world to liberate people, to bring them into moral freedom. And the process, that process is to bring them to the door of intellectual insight so that they will really gain that dignity on earth. And here the world plots against them, the wicked world, plot against them and try to contain them, bind them with the rope of their own excellence.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you. You and your child deserve a good education in a good environment. Register or inquire now at Sister Clara Muhammad School in Chicago, a private, independent Islamic school system that's been in operation for 50 years. The Sister Clara Muhammad School.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening.